Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the GPT Healthcare Limited Q3 FY24 earnings conference call hosted by JM Financial. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amey Chalke from JM Financial. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY24 result conference call of GPT Healthcare Limited. Joining us today on the call are Mr. Anurag Tantia, Whole-time Director; Atul Tantia, Group CFO; Ms. Kriti Tantia, CFO, GPT Healthcare. I would like to now hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to GPT Healthcare Limited for the third quarter and nine-month ended December 31st, 2023, earnings conference call. I would like to thank JM Financial for hosting this call. Today, we also have on the call our investor relations team, Stellar IR, who will be helping us out. It is with great pleasure and gratitude that we come before you today to share our first financial results since the listing of equity shares on the esteemed stock exchanges on February 29, 2024. I want to extend my heartfelt thanks to our BRLM, legal counsels, RTA, stock exchanges, and each and every one of the 127,000 shareholders who placed their trust in us, contributing to the success of our listing, which saw a good subscription from all segments. The IPO was 525.1 crore, including a fresh issue of 40 crores, and with this, the private equity investors, Banyan, has fully exited the company. GPT Healthcare Limited, the healthcare arm of GPT Group, owns and operates 561 beds spread across four state-of-the-art tertiary care hospitals in the eastern part of our country under the brand name ILS Hospitals. Founded in the year 2000 in Salt Lake, ILS Hospitals has since expanded its footprint and capabilities to Agartala, Damdum, and Howrah as well. Presently, we have a network of four hospitals. The first one is the 85-bed facility in Salt Lake, a 205-bed facility in Agartala, a 155-bed facility in Damdum, and 116 beds in Howrah, all equipped to provide neighborhood tertiary care facilities to the patients in these micro markets. Now, let me take you through each of these four hospitals. The Salt Lake Hospital is primarily an 85-bed surgical excellence hospital located in the residential part of Kolkata called Salt Lake. It has historically had good occupancies and return ratios. The nine-month current occupancy for this hospital is 62% due to the introduction of robotic surgery, which has reduced the average length of stay drastically from 4 to the current levels of 3.2. We have an ARPOB of approximately 33,600, with EBITDA margin in excess of 25%. The nine-month revenue for this hospital was 49 crores, with last year revenues being 63.7 crores. The Agartala Hospital, which is the next hospital we're talking about, is the only corporate hospital in the entire state of Tripura. With 205 beds, it has 66 critical care beds. Here also, the margins have been north of 25% at 26.1%. With an ARPOB of approximately 28,000 and revenues this year expected to be approximately 115 crores, with 87.6 crores already achieved in the nine months. The next hospital is our Damdum Hospital, which is 155 beds and boasts of the highest occupancy rate amongst our facilities. The occupancy rate stands at an impressive 78%. It recorded an ARPOB of almost 37,700 for the nine months ended December 2023. Damdum's length of stay was higher at 5.2 on account of the specialized renal transplant program we run at this hospital. This hospital started in 2013 and is our model hospital going forward. Here, we did an EBITDA break-even in 10 months, which is one of the fastest for a tertiary care setup in our industry. Our latest hospital is the hospital at Howrah, which is a 116-bed tertiary care hospital, which was started in the year October 2019. It currently has an occupancy of around 45%, an ARPOB of 26,700, and an ALOS of 3.8 days. Here, we could achieve an EBITDA break-even in just 8 months, bettering our track record of Dum Dum. It is located in North Howrah, one of the most densely populated parts of Howrah, with the closest hospital being almost 5 kilometers away, which translates to almost 45 minutes. As we delve into the numbers, I am proud to report that our focus on robust operational and financial parameters has translated into commendable performance for the quarter and 9 months ending December 31, 2023. Our existing hospitals continue to demonstrate strong performance across various metrics. Notably, our RPOP stands at 32,500, aligning with our commitment to serving the aspiring population of the society with higher disposable income in the middle to high income segment. Moreover, due to our neighborhood hospital model, almost 91% of our patient business is from cash and insurance, which has enabled us to achieve cash flow from operations to EBITDA ratios of approximately 80%, one of the highest in the industry. Our revenues for Q3 FY24 was 96.6 crores, marking a growth of 3.9% on a YOY basis, compared to 92.9 crores last year. For the nine-month ended period, revenues totaled 300.7 crores, representing a 13.5 YOY increase from 264.9 crores last year. We expect to close the year with a revenue in excess of 400 crores and expect to grow at 15 to 18% in FY25. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at 22.2 crores compared to 21.2 crores for representing a growth of 4.6% YOY. And EBITDA for the nine-month period ended was 68.4 crores compared to 54.1 crores last year, which is a growth of 26.3%. The EBITDA margin stands at a healthy 22.7%, and we are confident of maintaining this in the 23 to 24% range. The new hospital in Howrah and the Agartala Hospital are on the path for improvement, and which will lead the overall network to increase in terms of occupancy. The profit after tax for the quarter stood at 11.5 crores, marking a tremendous growth of 37.4% YOY compared to 8.3 crores last year. Similarly, the PAT for the nine-month period ended has shown a comparable growth of approximately 37.9% YOY from 25.3 crores to 34.9 crores this year. With decrease in financial cost on account of repayment of debt from the IPO proceeds and operating leverage, the PAT will continue to grow disproportionately going forward. The gross debt now stands at 8 crores, with cash and investments at 45 crores to fund our expansion programs. The network level bed occupancy rate currently stands at around 60%. This will inch up to around 65 to 70% in the coming quarters from the existing hospitals. In terms of patient volumes, the inpatient and outpatient volumes stood at 23,100 and 121,000 respectively for the nine-month period. The RPOB has also increased to 32,500, whereas the ALOS has decreased to 3.98. We aim to achieve long-term ROCE and ROE in excess of 25%, with a capex per bed of about 7 to 8 million, which is the lowest in the industry. At GBT Healthcare, our geographical focus is on Eastern India, a region with significant unmet healthcare needs, positions us as a beacon of excellence. The eastern part of the country has only 14 beds per 10,000 population, compared to Pan India having almost 40 beds per 10,000. Our unwavering dedication to patient care, professional integrity, and medical excellence remains steadfast as we continue to grow. In line with commitment to expanding access to quality healthcare, the company is pleased to announce the extension of our services to patients in Raipur in Q4 FY25. The 152-bedded hospital is being made on an asset-light basis with land and building on lease. The company shall invest 55 crores in the hospital, which shall be funded through internal accruals and a small debt for long-term equipments. Apart from Raipur, we are looking at commissioning a new hospital in Ranchi in FY27 and other prospective hospitals in Tier 2 cities of Eastern India, in states like Uttar Pradesh, Jharkhand, Assam, and Odisha. Through strategic expansion and provision for advanced medical services, we not only strive to meet the evolving healthcare needs of these communities, but also contribute to their overall development and well-being. We aim to establish a chain of 150 to 200 bed hospitals in these burgeoning markets, thereby fulfilling the pressing need for modern healthcare facilities in these areas. Lastly, the company has declared a second interim dividend of Rs. 1 per share. The record date for the same has been fixed on 2nd April 2024, maintaining a dividend policy for rewarding shareholders. The total dividend declared for this FY is Rs. 2 per share. With this, I conclude my opening remarks and look forward to addressing any questions you might have regarding our financial performance and future prospects. I will request the moderator to kindly open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Chintan Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So I have approximately 2-3 questions. So first question is, if we look at the H1 numbers that we had reported, so over there we had seen a growth of around 19% in revenue terms, and at EBITDA level, growth was around 43% plus. Now, if we look at the Q3 results, the growth both at the revenue EBITDA level is approximately 4%. So what I wanted to understand, so what has led to this kind of growth in this quarter versus the first half?
Hi, Chintan. Thank you for your question. So primarily the reason for the lower growth in quarter three in terms of revenue and EBITDA has been on account of the festival shift during quarter three. Last year, if you see, the Durga Puja and Navratri was towards the beginning of end of September, so it affected the quarter two performance. Well, this year it is towards the end of October. So this has a major impact in the region where we operate, especially West Bengal, where it is considered to be one of the biggest festivals of the year. Okay. Quarter three is also a seasonally weak quarter every year, and we expect the performance to ramp up in quarter four considerably.
Okay, so to supplement this, if you can clarify, how is the occupancy and ARPOB for quarter on the YY basis for Q3 FY24 versus Q3 FY23?
So in terms of patient volumes, we have done a similar amount in terms of Q3 FY23 and Q3 FY24. Occupancy also has been kind of similar. It's been kind of flattish in terms of growth.
Okay, so the entire growth was driven by increase in ARPOB, basically, so to say.
Correct.
Okay. The second question is, going ahead, say, FY25, how should we, since our next hospital will be coming in, say, by end of FY25, so next year, how should we understand the growth in terms of occupancy and ARPOB, especially in a scenario where there are regulatory concerns as well?
So, looking at the FY25 numbers, we expect our top line to grow at around 15 to 18% range. This will include a portion of revenues being contributed from the new hospital. In terms of the regulatory change which we are foreseeing, it is under discussion with the industry bodies and the government mechanism. It is something which is to be seen how it evolves. And B, I think because of our focus on the middle income segment and our considerably lower ARPOB, we are in a better position to adjust if and when it does come along.
Okay, got it. So is it fair to say if we had to get the growth next year, around majority of would be occupancy and some bit from ARPOB? 3-4% from ARPOB?
Correct.
Okay, got it. And just last question from my side. So in terms of Ranchi commissioning, if I remember correctly, it was planned to be commissioned in FY26. Now in your opening remarks, I think if I read it correctly, it's now being planned to be commissioned in FY27. So is there some change, delay in the timeline or?
No, we had mentioned calendar year 26, which would be FY27.
Okay. Okay. Got it. Understood. I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dishan Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity, sir. My first question is on the ARPOB. So by going into FY25 and FY26, so how are we thinking about increasing it? Like, will it be mostly related to the inflation at the stake? Or are we thinking of, bringing new treatments, technology mix, which will improve our ARPOB and kind of sustainable for the future as well?
Thank you for your question. So in terms of going forward, the ARPOB increase will be a combination of inflationary increase to the tune of around 3-4% and the balance coming in from a change in specialty mix. Every hospital has a different strategy in terms of what change we are envisioning for a specialty mix, which will further increase the ARPOB. Overall, we expect the ARPOB levels to be growing at around the 7-8% mark.
Okay. Okay. And so my second question would be on the kind of, would be on the doctor's part.
Mr. Jain, may I request you to use your handset, sir? Your audio is breaking.
Is it audible now?
Hello?
Is it better?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my second question would be on the new hospital that is coming at Raipur by next year. So, do we already have the connects with the doctors over there? Because those will be the biggest driver for our volumes as well. So how are the link planning to get the doctors from the competition, because competition would be already present there. So would it be difficult for us to get the doctors at the initial phase?
Sure. So the doctor engagement process at Raipur is already on. Our teams are already working with different doctors. We would be working with a mix of local doctors and some doctors of that area who are residing in other cities. We would be looking at repatriating them. So it is a complex strategy which is already in place, and we are hopeful of getting good quality doctors in time for the starting of the hospital. This hospital will be a modern facility located in one of the most densely populated areas, and we are very confident that our model allows us to attract good quality doctors, and we are on track for doing that.
Okay, sir. And is it possible to quantify like how much lease rentals are we going to pay for that hospital? And any future expansion is possible on the same hospital?
We would be paying around 3-4 crores a year of lease rental. There is no extra space in that facility to expand after that.
Okay. And sir, just the last one. So are we going ahead with the same kind of surgeries? Like we are, majorly focused into diabetes, nephrology, laparoscopic. So are we going to start with the same kind of mix at Raipur as well, or are we looking for a new kind of specialty surgeries or treatment?
We are a tertiary care hospital group. We do all kinds of surgeries and treatment processes, right from cardiac surgeries to neurosurgeries, including renal transplants. So we cater to all segments of the medical treatment facilities available, including oncosurgeries. We are looking at expanding to Raipur with all our facilities intact.
Okay, sir. Yeah, those are my questions. Thank you for answering all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my questions. My question relates to more of an Agartala hospital. So if I see their ARPOB in the 9 months is around 28,871, whereas for 6 months it was 30,206. So there was a sharp correction in Q3. So any specific reason for that and how it is likely to move in Q4?
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So yes, there was a correction in FY23 to 30,488, and it is around that same range in the 29,000 mark for 9 months ended FY24. This is on account of the case mix which we are catering to. Last year, we saw an increase in terms of the surgical volume post-COVID, which is now streamlined and stabilized. So that is what is leading to the slight dip in the of 1,000 in the ARPOB. But we are hopeful we will be maintaining similar levels with the growth trajectory going forward.
My question was more related to first half and third quarter. So first half it was around 30,000 plus, and in 9 months it has come down to 28,870. So quite possible in third quarter it might have come down to even around 26,000 or something. So that was a very sharp correction.
No, it did not come down to 26,000 levels. It was at around the 27,000-28,000, which is a factor of the seasonal mix. In quarter three, a lot of surgeries tend to get delayed and pushed out to quarter four because of the Durga Puja festivities in this region, which is a factor of that.
So the yearly ARPOB can be maintained, what was there in the last year, or it will be lower than that?
The yearly ARPOB should be around the 30,000 mark.
Okay, great, sir. And the occupancy in Agartala, how you expect it to move? Because that is a very good performing hospital. So how it is currently and how you expect it to move in FY25?
So for the 9 months ended, the occupancy at Agartala has been 53%. We are envisioning this hospital occupancy to go up to the 70% mark in the next 2 years. And we are on track for doing the same. Even as we speak, the occupancy of the hospital is at 60%. So there is considerable ramp up in the productivity and occupancy of that hospital. And we are confident it will be reaching a target in the next 2 years.
Great, sir. And similarly is for Howrah, where the occupancy improvement scope is substantial. So how is that likely to move in FY25, and what is it in current quarter?
So 9 months ended, the occupancy is around 45%. As we speak, the occupancy is 50%. In this hospital too, we are seeing good traction with our productivity, and we are hopeful that we should be reaching around 70% occupancy in the next 2 years.
Great, sir. And last question about Raipur. What is the break-even level of capacity utilization, since there will be a rent component also in this?
So we are mindful of the rent component and of the fact that we are moving to a newer geography. We expect our break-even to be around the 12 to 15 month mark, where we expect occupancy levels to be at around 35 to 40% range.
Okay. So initially we may be incurring losses and thereafter turning it around.
That is the trajectory every new hospital faces. And yes, we expect similar productivity from the Raipur hospital as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Raj from Arja Partners. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Hello. Wanted to ask on the number of employees. So how many doctors are on full-time payroll and how many doctors are on consultant basis?
So in terms of the number of employees, we have almost 1,850 employees. The doctors for us are consultants. They are not employees. We have the presence of almost 100 full-time consultants and the association of almost 500 visiting consultants.
All right. And how much is the sale from Dumdum Hospital and Howrah Hospital?
I'm sorry, your question broke. Can you repeat your question, please?
Yes. How much is the 9 month FY24 sales for Damdam Hospital and Howrah Hospital?
So the 9 month sales from the Damdam Hospital was 125 crores. And the 9 month revenue from the Howrah Hospital was 38.4 crores.
All right. And how much is the occupancy currently at Agartala?
Agartala 9 month ending occupancy was 53%. Right now we are tracking at almost 60%.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sagar Doshi from Fintuit. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So basically, after Rajpur, next hospital is coming up in FY27. So any other expansion plans in between, let's say, capacity addition in the current hospitals and things of that sort, and any inorganic expansion if you would be doing? That's the first thing.
So, yes. In terms of planned expansion, we have Raipur coming up in FY25 and Ranchi in FY27. We are on the lookout for inorganic opportunities in Eastern India. In fact, we are evaluating opportunities in city like Jamshedpur, Guwahati on an inorganic basis, which we are hopeful of clicking and commissioning by FY26.
And coming to profitability, so let's say the guidance for revenue growth is around 15 to 18%, and in initial you said that profitability could grow.
Your audio is not clear, sir. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Is it better?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. So the second question would be on the terms of profitability. So you said the revenue guidance of 15 to 18%. But the profitability could grow disproportionately. So anything from mid-year, 2-3 year period, what is the range that we could expect? Keeping the EBITDA margins, if you guided for 23-24%, that also is almost similar range. So what is the profitability jump that we could expect in next 2 or 3 years due to operating leverage, or what could be the levers for it?
We expect the profitability to grow at almost 25% at a CAGR level for the next 2 years.
Okay.
This would also have an impact of the decrease in finance cost on account of the repayment of debt.
So if I post model out 25%.
I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
I'm saying the whatever FY24 we are able to register on that, for FY25 is something that we can look. Correct.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanchit Chawla from Shubkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question was actually on your occupancy in Salt Lake Hospital. You know, I understand that there is robotic surgeries happening and therefore that dip in the occupancy in Salt Lake. But, you know, I still feel that, you know, it's one of the oldest hospitals in your network, and this is something where you can easily go to 80-85% kind of occupancy. So just want to understand, you know, when you could would be at that kind of occupancy for this hospital.
Sure. So 80-85% occupancy for a hospital is something which is very, very difficult to maintain. It leads to a lot of operational problems. We consider an occupancy of around 75-78% as optimal. Beyond that, pushing the hospital becomes very difficult. In terms of Salt Lake Hospital, yes, you've correctly pointed out, our length of stay has reduced on account of robotic surgeries, which has primarily led to the reduction in occupancy. This opens up more avenues for us to take additional patients. It is something which we are working on. With the increased bed availability now, we are hopeful that we'll be able to push the hospital back to the 75% occupancy mark in the next year itself. We have put in place various strategies to that effect, including giving a good push on the gastro program, where we are going to start DNB in that department as well.
Okay, and my second question was on your, on your margins for Agartala. They seem to be higher than Salt Lake despite lower occupancies and lower share of robotic surgeries. So why is that?
So that is on account of the sizing of the hospital. We do get a certain amount of operating leverage. There are a larger number of full-time consultants also in that hospital. So there are various metrics which end up giving us that extra impetus in terms of EBITDA.
And you're also adding onco radiation facility at Agartala. Have you bought the LINAC machine, or what process, where are we at, and what is the cost, if at all?
We are starting radiation oncology facilities in Agartala. We've already started medical and surgical oncology in that hospital. The radiation oncology piece, the equipments are being bought by our cancer care partners, CVCC USA, and we are hopeful of starting that in the next 3 months.
Okay.
The AERB approval has already come in, and we've already created the facilities in terms of the bunker and the OPD setup.
Perfect. And what kind of cost are you going to be incurring on this?
Most of the cost from our end towards this has already been incurred. The balance cost is to be incurred from a partner's end.
Perfect. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Binani from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So, sir, my first question was largely on this RIPO facility. So, we intend to do a capex of somewhere around 55 crore for 152 beds. And in our opening remarks, we commented that we would be looking to take some sort of debt for the medical equipments also. So, sir, this debt number is already included in the 55 crore, or this is over and above that?
So that number is already included in the projection of 51 crores, which we have talked 55 crores, which we have highlighted.
Okay, and the debt number would be approximately out of that 55 crore.
It would be around the 10 to 15 crore mark.
10 to 15 crores sort of number. Okay, so sir, the second question is largely on this only with the first question only. So if I actually work out with the maths. So, for the RIPO facility, we would be doing a capex of somewhere around 36 lakh rupees sort of number for 152 beds. And for Rachi, we would be doing somewhere around 35-36 lakh rupees.
Correct.
So, sir, how should actually one look into the capex per bed basically? So, why this number is so low or above?
So, if you look at our history. If you look at the capex per bed for our latest full-fledged hospital of Howrah, it is almost 7 million per bed. Here it is 3.5 million per bed because these two hospitals are on an asset-light model. Howrah was completely built and owned by us. Here the land and the building will be owned by the developer, and we will be operating it on a long-term lease of around 40 years and 60 years respectively.
40 to 50 years, and the annual escalation for this would be the rent escalation?
There is no annual escalation. The escalation is on a 3-year period, and it ranges between 7 to 8% depending on the nature on the hospital, which would translate to a CAGR of around 2%.
Got it. And so the second question is largely on this break-even price. So we have been talking about this break-even for Howrah as well as other hospitals, and we have done a remarkable thing. So how should one look into this RIPO hospital for break-even? So maybe I'll just put it this way. How do we actually calculate the break-even? So what is the number, the RPOB number do we start with for a new facility?
So in terms of break-even, we are envisioning a break-even period of around 12 to 15 months for the Raipur facility, which is higher compared to our break-even for our Howrah facility. This is because we are mindful that we are going to a new area, and there might be a certain delay on account of that. Most tertiary care hospitals, which are our peers, tend to take almost 2.5-3 years to come to this monthly break-even period. In terms of what metrics we follow to account for the break-even, we generally, as per industry norms, we look at a 35% occupancy generally translates to break-even. Here, we will be starting off with our ARPOBs of around the 27,000-28,000 mark at current levels, which would be inflation-adjusted for when we commission the hospital. The prevalent market in that area is as per that ARPOB, and we would be matching that.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Dishant Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, sir, for the follow-up. Can you please help me? Why does the random hospital occupancy has been reduced on a nine-month basis, sir? Like from FY 2023 to nine-month FY 2024. Is it due to the seasonal factor or?
So, as I said earlier, any occupancy above the 75% mark is optimal occupancy. 78% occupancy, which we are doing in Damdum, is a very good occupancy. Last year, if you're looking at a differential between last year, it is likely to do with the bed infrastructure also in place. Last year, Durga Puja was slightly earlier, and this year it is slightly late, so we are going to see that impact coming in Q4 as well. And also it translates to the bed preference people might have while getting operated as well.
Okay. Thank you. That's one point. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for the follow-up. So just one question in terms of thought process and strategy. So if I look at our existing hospitals as well as new hospitals that are coming in, we optimally utilize the bed capacity, meaning we don't have any scope for further expansion. So wanted to understand why as a strategy we go for this. The reason why I ask this is because if you look at a hospital, if we have additional capacity, brownfield in the same locality, et cetera, it's the easiest way to bank it, especially when we are in a region which is quite under-penetrated. So can you just help us understand this thought process behind this?
So, thank you for the follow-up question. Ideally, we would also be very happy if we would be able to get that brownfield expansion capacity in these areas. But unfortunately, we place our hospitals in some of the most densely populated parts of the city, where getting that kind of real estate on an additional basis is very difficult. Getting 100,000 sq ft or something to the tune of that in these thickly populated areas is very difficult, and whenever we do end up getting that area, we tend to utilize it to the full to place our hospital. After that, the possibility of expanding is very less.
Got it, understood. But if we look at our peers, there are quite a few already present in this region, and they have much larger capacity, say, at 300 or 400 beds. So I mean, if they are able to, you know, have that much capacity, then, I mean, where is the bottleneck for us to not, you know, get the land or building piece available?
So yes, there are larger peers available in the region where we operate in, but it is in the region where we operated, not in the micro market. The cities are big, and the cities have various areas. So most of the larger hospitals are slightly away from the city in the lesser populated areas, while our hospitals are right in the heart of the city in those thickly populated areas.
Okay, got it. Understood. So in that case, if there's such a micro market where there is limited competition, then ideally, we should have a much better pricing power, say, in terms of ARPOB or the mix. So we think in terms of basically specialties, there is a some element where we lack, or how should we understand this? Or is the capacity of the region to pay?
So again, we place our hospitals in these micro markets, which are mostly full of working class population, of middle income population. In these regions, we do not want to outprice ourselves to the extent that patients do not end up coming. If the pricing is very high, patients will look at other options. Our pricing, we feel, is just right for that region, and which enables us to operate in a good manner.
Okay, got it. Understood. And lastly, in terms of, you know, occupancy, is there any scope for us to, you know, go for more insurance tie-up and drive the occupancy growth, or would prefer more of cash patients?
So in terms of our current payer mix, if you see, almost 91% of our revenues come from cash and insurance patients, with corporate schemes and government contributing only 8 to 9% of our revenues. We feel this is a very healthy mix, which gives us almost 80% cash flow from operations to EBITDA conversion, which is one of the highest in the industry. We are always obviously looking at increasing the cash and insurance mix even more, but at this point, I think we have saturated in terms of what is available in the market. We have tied up with all insurance companies and TPAs, and we are catering to all of them.
Okay, got it. Understood. That's it from my side. Thank you so much for answering all the questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanchit Chawla from Shubhkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just had one follow-up. Wanted to understand why your ARPOBs will grow only by 7-8% if you're adding onco radiation facility at Agartala. Because, you know, addition of this will kind of give you a significant increase in ARPOB. So,
hello. The onco radiation facility is in partnership with someone where there will be a revenue sharing with us. Apart from that, we are also looking, we are mindful of the cost incurred by the patients, and it's a conscious call to not load up the ARPOB in a big way for the patients. We will be getting significant advantage in inpatient facility, inpatient occupancy on account of the onco, which will end up impacting the ARPOB to that extent as well.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Divya from Master Trust. Please go ahead.
Firstly, what risks do you see in your business? And recently, the Supreme Court order on CGSH, does that impact your business?
So, in terms of the risk to the business, obviously we are in a micro market, it's a regulated industry, so we need to keep the doctors engaged, the patient service to be up to the mark so that the patients are loyal to the hospital in their neighborhoods. In terms of the Supreme Court, I would say that, like Anurag said earlier, we are in talks with the hospital association as well as the government departments to ensure that it's a smooth transition and there's no abrupt intervention in the hospital industry. We don't anticipate it to be a very big impact, but we have to wait and watch.
Okay. And so is there any cyclicity in your business, as in, like, you know, this quarter is better than other quarter?
Yeah, so like we said earlier, Q3 is generally a seasonally weak quarter. Other quarters are almost, Q1 is also slightly, maybe a slight dip, but generally Q2 and Q4 are the better quarters.
Q3 and Q4?
You know, Q3 and Q1.
Q3 and
Q1,
okay.
And Q2 and Q4 are better.
Okay, got it. And so lastly, sir, what's your, like, as a management, so what's your aspiration for the company?
So we want to be an Eastern India focused network of hospitals serving the middle to higher income part of the society who has a very high disposable income nowadays with good insurance penetration as well in this part of the country. We currently have 4 hospitals with 561 beds. We want to grow to minimum 7 hospitals with 1,000 beds in the next couple of years.
So good, that's good. Okay, sir, thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Jainil Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on Agartala. You know, we are adding radiation oncology. So what's the incremental revenue potential there? And if you can throw some more light on the arrangement with CBCC. And if there is more brownfield potential in Agartala, and how can we tap that?
Sure. So in terms of revenue potential, it can lead to a revenue upside of almost 15-odd% with the radiation oncology kicking in. We have the beds also available for the same. In terms of the CBCC tie-up, it's CBCC is a large US-based chain of radiation oncology setups. we have tied up with them and they have already ordered the Linac and the PET-CT. We expect, like Anurag said earlier, the bunker and the other civil infrastructure is already ready. The medical and the surgical oncology has already started. We expect the radiation oncology also to start in the next quarter as well.
What's the revenue share that we are giving?
About 11%. And okay. We will get 11%. We're not giving that. We're getting 11%.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, we have, you know, two hospitals, Raipur and Ranchi, on an asset-light basis. So is there an option to purchase the hospital?
We do have a right of first refusal in case we want to purchase the hospital. But we don't anticipate it at the moment. That, I guess, will kick in only if there's some dispute amongst the developers or something. And to answer your earlier question with respect to the brownfield opportunity in terms of Agartala, yes, there is an opportunity to add about 100-odd beds in Agartala once the occupancy, and the manager will take a call once the occupancy stabilizes around the 70 to 75% mark. And it's a low-hanging fruit, like one of the earlier callers had asked. And that can be easily done once the occupancy stabilizes around that mark.
Sure. And just one last question on, you know, the doctors. Most of them, you know, are on a, so most of the doctors are visiting consultants. So is there any plan to onboard them on a fixed payroll or, you know, if you could also highlight some of your strategies on the cost side?
Sure. So in terms of the doctor engagement model, it is a function of the region or the city where we are operating in. We have a higher number of full-timers in Agartala because the model of the city functions in that manner. In Calcutta, for example, there is a known trend for doctors associating themselves in a visiting manner. They don't like to be associated on a full-time basis. So we have a larger number of visiting consultants. Going forward, we know that Raipur, for example, again, has a trend for more full-time doctors where we are looking at engaging with a lot more full-timers there. So it is a function of the city which where we are operating, and this is a constantly evolving strategy.
Sure. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dishan Jain from Quasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up, sir. Just wanted to ask, is it possible to quantify how much CapEx have you incurred for the oncology center at Agartala?
So we've incurred around 10 crores for the oncology setup.
And how much more are we going to incur, or is it done for us and the benefit for the partner?
The finishing up is going on. We might incur another 1.5 to 2 crores. The rest of it would be incurred by the partner.
Okay, and how much would that be? Is it possible to?
It is not possible for us to quantify that at this point.
Okay, oh, no, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Amay Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. The first one is on the care list. So this is the first year, I guess, we have below 4. And some of the hospital, bigger hospitals are now reaching towards even the 3 days. So what would be the optimal care list for us for the as a group? And what are the avenues, how you can reduce it apart from the robotic surgery? Yeah.
So the ALS coming down below 4 is a conscious call, which is a strategy which we are working on. Ideally, we would want our ALS to be around the 3.6 range on an aggregated basis. This would be different for different hospitals. Currently, our ALS reduction is more focused on Dumdum and Salt Lake Hospital, which are almost functioning at optimum occupancy levels. Here, we are looking at reducing ALS and increasing the number of patients we can take. We are looking at getting the Dumdum ALS from 5.2 to the 4.5 mark, which should overall help reduce the network ALS to around the 3.6 mark.
Sure. And any reason for Dumdum having a high air list? Is there a pace mix or something which is keeping it high?
So as stated earlier as well, the reason for the Dumdum ALOS being slightly higher compared to the rest of the hospitals is because of the successful renal transplant program which we run in that hospital.
Sure. Sure. And on the Agartala, we expected occupancy, which we say would be around 70% and higher after 2 or 3 years. Is it a natural course to which this occupancy will be reached, or you are taking an initiative to drive this occupancy? If you can highlight those initiatives.
It is a mix of natural course and a lot of initiatives being taken. There are multiple initiatives being taken to increase the occupancy as well, one of which is the radiation oncology setup. With radiation oncology, we expect a trickle-down effect in terms of inpatients as well across all departments. Apart from that, we've also been able to fill up some critical consultant gaps in the departments of urology and neurology. This will further add to the overall volume. Apart from that, yes, the incremental marketing work always leads to an uptick in productivity.
Sure.
The radiation oncology, once we set that up, will be the only private LINAC in the entire state.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my question.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for your questions. I hope we have suitably addressed the same. In case you have any further queries, please get in touch with us or through our IR advisors. Thank you for the continued support and trust in our company's vision and capabilities. Together, we look forward to achieving new milestones and creating lasting value. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.